This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here. We are checking in with school districts around the area, kind of get a mid-school year check of what is going on. And Superintendent Jeff Clark is here from the Oakland School District. Jeff, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me today, Kyle. Very much appreciated.
So overall, how is the school year going in Oakland?
It seems to be going really well. Had a great start to the year, first 4 months, and just finished up Christmas break and have been back for 2 weeks. First semester ends in two more weeks, and we are it's just going fast. I can't believe how fast things are going, but the staff's working really hard to providing great opportunities for all of our students, and our students have been really focused and are doing a great job in the classroom this year.
Any new programs or special things you want to highlight that are going on?
I think that we're pleased with the rebounding of our test scores as we've gotten back into, gotten post-COVID and started to get back into the swing of schools. We're still trying to pick things up from the letdowns that we saw there with the shutdowns. But I feel like our test scores are moving back up, and we're pretty happy with that. Our graduation rates have stayed really high. Those are something that we take a lot of pride in, have been over 90% for the last 10 to 12 years, and with a few 100% grad rates in there. So we feel like we're really positive there. And then as far as we have programs going, instead of bringing in a lot of new things, we're just trying to continue to focus and improve on the programs that we have in place and make sure that we are executing them at the highest level possible and giving our students the ability to be successful in as many areas as possible.
So for the Oakland School District, around how many students do you have enrolled?
We stand right around 650 students, K through 12.
And is that up, down, or about the same?
I'd say it's a little bit higher. Usually we run right around the 600 mark. So we're up about 50 students. We have a really big, our junior class at the high school has 63 students in it. We also have a couple of other bigger classes throughout. We've actually closed we started in September and closed two or three grade levels because we were full, so we weren't accepting any out-of-district students, and we now have 11 of our 13 grade levels are closed to out-of-district students. So those will open up again in the summertime as we reassess where we're at and can adjust our staffing to match those bigger numbers.
Well, with that type of situation, you've got to be pretty happy with that.
We're always happy. I feel like we work really hard to provide a great opportunity for students to be successful, but we also we take a lot of pride in making sure that we hold our students accountable for the behaviors that they're displaying, and making sure that they understand what it means to be an Oaker and the pride that they have to take in that, and they have to raise their levels of behaviors to match that. And so we're able to do that and give them opportunities to find success, and if they stumble along the way, we help pick them back up and dust them off and learn from our mistakes and keep moving forward. So really happy that we have a lot of bodies and keeps our staff on their toes, that's for sure.
And what are your staff numbers like?
We have a phenomenal staff at Oakland. We're so lucky to have the staff at all levels. Not just our teaching staff's phenomenal, K through 12, but we also have great support staff with our instructional assistants and our kitchen kitchen people and custodial and maintenance staff, our bus drivers. We're so lucky in Oakland to have such a dedicated group of people working for us that every day they come to school and with the idea of what can I do to make our students better and to provide them the best opportunity to find success and be successful and be happy to be at school. So we're very fortunate to have a great staff to work with every day.
Have you been able to keep all your staff positions filled?
We have been fully staffed. We did. We lost one person late November that took another job, and so we interviewed for that, and we did some internal channel shifting, and so now we have an instructional assistant position open at the high school. But generally, we've been able to keep our all of our teaching positions have been filled, and you know, our leadership, our administrative leadership, and our principals, and the work that our counselors do in the buildings really help facilitate that great relationship between students and staff. And so we've been able to have the adults come in and fill our positions that we need. So it's been great.
Has it been a challenge, though, to recruit new staff when you need some?
It really is difficult. I mean, 10 to 12 years ago, when we had a third grade position or a high school English position or whatever, we'd have 8 to 10 applicants. Now it's a little harder, and we find 1 to 2 applicants or 2 or 3 applicants, licensing matters become a little bit more of a challenge. But you know, we do what we can with what we get, and we've been very fortunate, like I said, to have very quality people apply for our positions and fill our open spots and be able to provide our students with the best opportunities. So we have been lucky there, but it has been a challenge. We just less and less people are, whether there's less people going into education as a career or other impediments to getting them licensed has been a challenge statewide and probably nationwide as well.
Well, yeah, and the data that I've looked at kind of supports that. Are you concerned at all going down the road? I mean, we lost a percentage of folks during the pandemic, and they went to other things, but a lot of people decided not to jump into the field of education. What do you do when you look down the road?
Well, it's a little concerning, no doubt about it. We, you know, that's a big problem. And I think another piece that goes a little bit unnoticed is the teaching and education staff in Oregon and probably Douglas County as well is an older staff, and they're aging out quickly, and we're just not getting the backfill of young students. One of the things are young teachers coming in. One thing that we do, we try and highlight the benefits of education for our students coming out. And I think one of the things that we take great pride in Oakland is I think we have 18 Oakland graduates that are working within our district, whether they be teaching or instructional assistants or support staff or whatever position they have. But very many Oakland graduates come back and work in Oakland, and we take a lot of pride in that. And there's the extra benefit to that is, you know, they've seen what it's like as a student to come through, and they've seen the influence that those adults have had in their life, and it gives them that opportunity to come and give back to future generations. So we're very fortunate in Oakland to have that, you know, to help kind of grow our own and produce our own out of our students that are graduating. But there's a definite deficit in the amount of people going into education, and it's definitely a little alarming for what the future looks like.
When you look at your funding for this school year, do you feel that it's adequate?
You know, I never really feel like the funding is adequate. I mean, I was very pleased that the state went through at the 9.2 mark. That's the highest that they've ever funded that. But that being said, I think that the state's doing an okay job as far as funding education while it's still a little bit short in funding allowing schools to be able to educate kids on a day-to-day basis. But the major gap that's coming in our funding is there's no place in year-to-year school funding to manage capital improvement projects. And it's not like we want to build Taj Mahal school buildings, but the problem that comes with that is we have such old buildings that just require such major maintenance, and if you want to replace them and get a new building, that those one-time costs are so expensive it makes it really difficult, and the funding has not addressed that at the current time and in the current formula that they're using, and that's something that in some manner the state's going to have to figure out sooner rather than later.
Your bond proposal back in November didn't pass, and that included a couple big projects you wanted to do. How do you address that now?
Well, it's really difficult. We were really disappointed. We felt like we put a lot of time and effort into it. And at that point, we were asking for $6 million from our community with a $4 million matching grant from the state. And that got voted down. We missed it by 90 votes. So, you know, 46 people that voted no, had they voted yes, we would have passed. passed it. So it was really close, and we feel good about that. Moving forward, we listen to our voters, and we understand that, we tried to get some feedback of why why it did not pass. And we are going back out for another bond in May. But as I said, we listen to our voters, and it's going to be definitely a pared down bond. We are only asking for $4.5 million from our community, and we also are getting $4.5 million in a matching grant from the state. And we've taken off the all of the peripheral stuff, and this is all focused on building a multi-use facility for our middle school sports and for our music and arts programs to use up on our middle school campus. And it's focused strictly on building that so we can get our 110-year-old Washington gym building offline and stop using that, because it's just deteriorating like all 110-year-old buildings do. So we are working on doing that. So we are just in the entry stages of putting that bond package together, and we're going to go out to the voters in May. And we also, in doing that, like I said, we heard our voters in the sense of the last bond. We were asking for $1.15 per thousand. Now this new bond is for over 20 years. The new bond is only asking 91 cents per thousand of value, and we cut 5 years off of it, and so it's only for 15 years. So we're hoping that the repackaged bond, that our community will look at that and understand that we're working at all of our improvements on our own. So we paired off the paving, the softball field, the external lighting, all of those things we pulled off. We are strictly looking at that multi-use facility to try and get that built so we can get Washington offline as soon as possible.
All right, more when we come back. Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247, and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District covering a lot of things happening there. You were talking about your new bond proposal for May, and you actually talked about something I was going to ask about. One of the things I've noticed looking around the state, when you have a small district in terms of the number of people that live in the area, a lower tax base to pull from, it seems like it's one of these ongoing things for smaller districts in rural Oregon that it is very, very hard to pass bond measures, which oftentimes easily pass in larger districts where there's a lot of people and a higher validation of property levels and things like that.
There's no doubt about it. That's been an ongoing problem that the state has got to figure out a way to manage. On top of that, we have so many, in our district and most Douglas County districts, for that matter, have so much forest land and state land and federal land that doesn't pull any tax money. So the burden of those bonds becomes higher for those smaller groups. I mean, there's so many districts in Salem, Portland, Eugene that even do operating levies. So they, and it's such at small levels, so they get this massive amount of money from their communities in small a small burden for each family, but that extra money goes in there. So yes, it is. It's definitely an unfair playing field there, and we're hoping that the state can figure that out. I will say that as superintendents in Douglas County, we've teamed together to talk to our legislators in the area and talk to them about relay these issues and problems that we have with it, and to make them aware of it, and so hopefully they can manage and do some things to make some improvements there as well.
What is an average day like for you?
Oh, man. Well, the superintendent job is about what I expected it to be. There is a lot of meetings. Those meetings, whether it be with other superintendents or parents or community members or Zoom meetings or state level meetings, whatever. Lots of meetings in there, lots of paperwork to do. The state requires a plethora of paperwork applications and so forth, and it seems like every time they are nice enough to kick some extra money towards school, they also kick it with a 30-page application to get that money and tell you what they're going to use it for. And then you manage day-to-day issues and talk with a few parents along the way, and I try as much as I can to be able to get out and visit with students, and I've not been doing as good a job as I would like or being able to do as much as I want to get into classrooms and be around, you know, our day-to-day teachings and so forth. But I try and get into the buildings and see kids, and then which was a little more unique to me than most superintendents. But at the end of the day, I usually have to head out and get to practice as it's during basketball season, and work with that or get to the game for the day. So I'll tell you, the time fills up pretty fast, but I definitely try and get out and spend as much time with people as I can, whether it be the teachers, the support staff, and hopefully students, to be able to kind of build and feed off of their energy.
You've been coaching for a long time, but it's kind of rare for a superintendent to still be a coach.
It is definitely hard. This is my 30th year coaching here, and it is difficult, no doubt about it. It was hard as a principal AD to do it, but it's, I think, even a little harder as a superintendent, because I've been forced to miss a little bit of practice and miss some other things based on state meetings that I have to be at or other things that have to come first. And, you know, I have a good coaching staff with great assistants that can manage to pick up the slack for me when I need to, and a good support staff within the schools as well that can pick up and help support me when I need it in those areas.
It sounds like, though, you are still very passionate about the role of being a coach.
Yes, I still love it. I love, again, the energy of the kids, and I love the competition, and I take a lot of pride in our basketball program and all of our sports programs at Oakland, but take a lot of pride in that and want us to be the best we can be, and gives me a chance to hopefully take some young men and teach them about not just basketball, but also how to be good people and how to grow into good, productive adults.
And with the basketball season, about half the time you've got to travel, and sometimes that's kind of lengthy, right?
Yes, we have some long road trips, and Tuesday night was a great adventure. We had a road trip up to Walport, so we left the school at 12:45 to get there, played three. They didn't have a girls' JV, so we only played three games, but on the way back, the windstorm, rainstorm, we pull up on Highway 38 and come around a corner to a downed tree. So we sat on the bus for 2 hours waiting for ODOT to get the tree cleared off. So we rolled back into school about 2:45 in the morning, which made Wednesday morning's alarm a little annoying when it went off. So, yeah, there's definitely some long road trips, but, you know, that's part of the fun of coaching, and you get some good team bonding along the way. And you know, it's, I guess, the price you pay to do business in the coaching world.
So what are some of the highlights of the year so far for you and things that have taken place in the Oakland District?
Well, I think we've had some great, we've had great success of our athletic teams and our other choir, band, cheer, FFA. A lot of our other programs are doing really well. We've got some great development going on in our metal shop, wood shop, CTE programs. We've been expanding some stuff there. Our arts and ceramics department at the high school is also doing some really neat things. The success of our students. But I probably look at, when I look at highlights, even though these are, you know, not their secondary aspects of day-to-day student life, but we've got a lot of construction projects going on that we finished up. We finished up our seismic rehab grant on the main hall of the Lincoln Middle School and the cafeteria down there. We just finished that up in last month. We have all of the plans set for our 5-6 annex hall. That'll go into, we'll break construction on that first as soon as school's out this summer, and we'll get that seismic rehab grant taken care of there. We also built a nice, beautiful, beautiful covered play area at Lincoln Middle School. We were able to use some ESSER dollars for that to get that built, so our middle school students have a place to go when it's raining outside. We're breaking ground on our new district office, so we can, right now, our district office, because we've filled up with students, we've moved our old district office around to let students into, and so we've taken our district office and we're kind of parceled out around the campus. So we're also taking some ESSER dollars and some capital improvement monies, and we're going to build a district office that has six, seven offices in it. We'll be able to do that. We're breaking ground on that in about 2 weeks. And then we also have three seismic applications into the state we should hear back on in April for our other buildings around the district. And then we just added 1,000 square feet to our wood shop with some Measure 98 dollars. That's expanded that out and is really making some great additions to our CTE program, which we did the same thing 2.5 years ago to our metal shop. So we've added almost 2,000 square feet of building space for our CTE programs out there, which has allowed us to expand that and has given our students a lot of good job training experience for when they head out in the real world.
What is your biggest challenge as a superintendent?
Well, I think there's a lot of challenges as a superintendent. I think, you know, managing the district as a whole is it's very difficult because you're just managing so many different aspects of it. We are in the massive, as I just said, lots of construction going on. So, which, you know, the construction world's a whole different world, which takes a lot of management and has lots of hurdles along the way. The day-to-day stuff of whether it be student interaction or teacher issues or community issues, all of those things, throwing in coaching. But I would say if I was going to choose the biggest challenge I have is managing all of the bureaucracy that comes down from Salem and ODE and the expectations on schools and all the difficulties that comes with that.
All right, Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District, thanks for being on.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, Kyle. Very much enjoy all the work that you do, and shout out to the Oakers.
All right. 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.